WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, Ta-Nehisi Coates on his Atlantic Magazine epic, The Case for Reparations.
These are people who went to church, did everything right, you know, pulled their pants up, you know, did all the things that America would ask African Americans to do, and in many cases still nevertheless found themselves to be plundered by American policy.
From slavery to subprime loans, how American policy holds black wealth down and how to make it up. Ta-Nehisi Coates coming up today. Also, Don't Play Ball, how some New York City high schools that need sports programs the most don't have any, and why this is winding up as a civil rights complaint to the federal government. And how would you like to be forgotten online? We'll take your calls and look at how a recent court decision in Europe is letting more people there try to abolish links to your most embarrassing moments. But we begin today with an interesting moment right now in New York State politics. The Working Families Party holds its nominating convention this weekend, uncertain whether it will support Governor Cuomo, as it did in 2010, or nominate a more progressive alternative for the Working Families Party because of Cuomo's concessions to the right. It'll be an interesting dance these next few days that does have real implications for policy and also raises questions about the role of minor parties in New York state politics, working families, the Conservative Party, the Independence Party, and more. They don't matter very much except when they do. And are they a force for good democracy or bad? Larry Norden is Deputy Director for Democracy Programs at the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU, and he joins us now. Hi, Larry. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And let's begin with this present moment. I think we can stipulate that Governor Cuomo is going to walk to his reelection victory on the Democratic line alone unless someone discovers that he caused a traffic jam on the Tappan Zee Bridge as a dirty trick against Rob Astorino.
I think that's fair.
So why does Cuomo care about the Working Families Party endorsement one way or the other?
Well, first of all, we should say there's something in New York called fusion voting, which allows the Working Families Party and other parties to nominate the same candidate as the Democrats or the Republicans. So Cuomo would like to be apparently on the Working Families Party line. He's already on the Independence Party line.
We'll get to. That was a controversial acceptance of that line in and of itself.
But so this is, you know, New York has this and about a handful of other states do. Connecticut has it next door, Vermont. So it's somewhat unique in the United States, and it gives third parties a little bit more power. It's a signal to the voters as to where the candidate stands, and it's a signal to candidates about where their support is coming from. And if the Working Families Party chooses not to endorse Cuomo, that's obviously some kind of signal to the voters that people who support the Working Families Party should know the Working Families Party is not endorsing him. And it may mean that he gets less votes in the election. Obviously, I think a lot of people think Cuomo is going to win handily. The question is how handily. And like most politicians, he'd like to get as many votes and as much of a mandate as possible.
So here's one way Cuomo is courting the WFP. Here he is yesterday threatening to withhold support. This is what this threat appears to be in this language, to withhold support from certain candidates who would keep the Senate Republicans in charge in the state Senate, people up for reelection who he has previously supported, if they don't pass a public campaign financing bill, a priority of the Working Families Party.
If public finance is not passed by the end of the session, which is late June, I would consider it a failure, and I would give my opinion to the people of the state.
opinion in the form of endorsements, presumably against people he's endorsed in the past. So is the subtext of that clip, hey, Working Families Party, I'm going to fight for your top priority now, so keep your end of the deal and endorse me this weekend?
I don't think there's any question about that. And the question, you know, for the Working Families Party is whether that's good enough for them.
Because it's only a promise and the timing doesn't match. The governor set a late June deadline in that clip for the legislature. The Working Families Convention is this weekend. Mm-hmm. So does he want them to take his word for it?
I think that's what he's asking at this point, and that's going to be a decision that the Working Families Party is going to have to make on Saturday. So this is one of the this is a rare instance where there's some suspense going into a political convention.
Anybody listening right now who will be attending the Working Families Party convention this weekend and wants to call up and tell us if you've decided to support Cuomo or some other candidate and what you think is at stake here, policy-wise or for the people of New York or for certain people of New York, give us a call if you're a WFP supporter, whether you're going to the convention personally and physically or not, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. What matters here? Or for that matter, any diehard member of the Independence Party, probably a little harder to find. But if you are one of those folks, call us up because we'll get into your party's place in New York democracy too. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 with Larry Norden from the Brennan Center. And what a big tent coup if Cuomo can pull this off. He would be Mr. Bipartisan Centrist by supporting Republican control of the Senate and Mr. Progressive by getting public financing and the Working Families Party endorsement.
Yeah, my guess is Cuomo wouldn't say that he'd be supporting Republican control of the Senate.
No,
so much
but
as,
wink,
as,
wink, we know.
As staying out. Right. So, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, again, I suppose this makes the decision for the Working Families Party even more of a difficult one.
And the irony for the Working Families Party is that by giving the Working Families Party this item, Cuomo, in effect, promises to empower Republicans to keep control of the state Senate, which might be the biggest thing the Working Families Party hates.
Yeah, although I have to say, you know, I've been part of this coalition that has been pushing for campaign finance reform and public financing in New York for a long time. And the Brennan Center thinks it's probably one of the most important things that could happen in this state. And the Working Families Party has made it pretty clear for the past couple of years that they too think that this is extremely important. So that's what they're weighing here.
Would it really matter? Go ahead and talk about that issue and why it matters, because I think at this point a lot of people listening probably shrug and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, that's all good on paper, but money always seeps in through one hole or another and becomes the dominant factor in, you know, who runs and who gets enough funding to run. Look at New York City, which has this model public financing program, but Mayor Bloomberg bought his way in for three terms by getting around it with his own money, for example.
Yeah. Look, there's no question money plays a really big role in politics, and the Supreme Court has made that easier and easier with decisions like Citizens United and McCutcheon. But in some ways, that's why having a public financing system is so important, because it gives candidates an opportunity to run without that big money support. And even if you point to somebody like Michael Bloomberg, there were candidates who were able to run viable campaigns against him. And in the case of Bill Thompson, come incredibly close only because of the public financing system. So, look, we're never going to get money out of politics. But what public financing does is it allows people to be competitive without taking the $10,000, $20,000, $40,000 checks from big donors. And that's right now that is really huge.
Here's a Working Families Party member, Lucia, on the Upper West Side. Good morning, Lucia.
Good morning. I'm calling because I think that there are some issues besides public financing that the Working Families Party members are concerned about with Cuomo. And they include his possible support of fracking after the elections, which I think it's very likely that he will try to go ahead and allow fracking in New York State.
What we know is that he's delayed and delayed and delayed over his entire first term a decision on New York State fracking.
Yes. But I believe that he's aware that it could prevent his that support of fracking could prevent his reelection. The other thing is his support of charter schools, which is a concern for Working Families Party members as well. So,
either way, you would endorse having the party put somebody else on their line, correct?
Yes, I would.
Do you have a person in mind?
No, and that's unfortunate. You know, I think that, you know, it would be good to have, an alternative. But I think the Working Families Party will come up with someone who will represent, its values more closely. I'm just not sure whether they will be able to be a viable candidate to oppose Cuomo, and, you know, in terms of their chances of raising enough money quickly enough and that kind of thing.
Lucia, thank you very much. And again, Larry, I know I asked this question before, but why does Cuomo care if the Working Families Party endorses him or not?
Well, look, I mean, he has an opportunity for a historic victory. He is that favored in this election. And again, Andrew Cuomo, like
so maybe he'll get 70% instead of 63%.
Yeah, well, and that means, well, or yes, or 55 or 45. And, if he has any national ambitions, certainly how big his victory is going to be important, as is, you know, what kind of support he has on the left. And the Working Families Party represents the left in New York.
And does it go the other way? Does the Working Families Party as an institution need the governor for their ballot lines as much as or more than he needs them?
So I think that was certainly true 4 years ago. And there was it's funny because this is kind of really turned around. 4 years ago, it was the Working Families Party, at least if you believe all the reports in the media, that was trying to get the Cuomo support and be allowed to endorse him so that they could get 50,000 votes, which is what they need to stay on the ballot.
And again, that's important. In order to automatically be on the ballot statewide for the next 4 years, a party's candidate for governor has to get 50,000 votes.
Yes, right. And so it appears that they feel confident now that with or without them, without Governor Cuomo, they can get the 50,000 votes. And so, I mean, obviously that's why things have changed a little bit, and now they are threatening to withhold their endorsement of him.
And they just had a whole year of being ballyhooed as the coming progressive force, not just in New York politics, but in American politics. Their agenda found voice with Bill de Blasio. They also have had influence in some other states' politics.
Yes.
And there were articles going around about how they would be the new Democratic wing of the Democratic Party, right. You know, though now suddenly they're in the weak position relative to the Cuomo juggernaut. So, you know, the force of the Working Families Party may not be on the rise all that much. But, as you say, maybe enough that they could, even with an independent candidate, just to make a statement this year about their values, their ballot line.
You know, we just heard this caller. I think there is a real question that they have to face right now, which is not only how many votes are they going to get, but what do people see them standing as for? And if it's merely as a Me Too for the Democrats, that potentially poses a challenge for them.
All right. Any other Working Families Party members out there want to call in and tell us what you do stand for, how much Cuomo represents it or not, and how you would like to see this convention go this weekend? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And we'll get into the Independence Party and a little bit of the Conservative Party, an adjunct party on the Republican side. 212-433-WNYC. If anybody from those parties wants to call in to WNYC, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Let's say the whole phone number all at once. It makes it easier to call in. But let me back out a step and ask, since your specialty at the Brennan Center is democracy, are these various third parties and this fusion system, which you described before and said is almost unique in America, where an additional party can endorse the same candidate that the Democrats or Republicans endorse. Is this good for democracy in New York or bad, in your opinion?
I think it's good for democracy. And one thing I should make clear is it's unique at this moment, but historically this is something that existed in most of the United States. It wasn't until late 19th century, early 20th century that the two major parties started to work to get rid of fusion voting because it did make for stronger third parties and for alternatives. It was actually the rise of the Progressive Party in the early 20th century that really put the brakes on this in many places around the country. And, you know, I think giving people more choice and is more democracy. And if you look at the history of New York City, there are a lot of mayors, great mayors, that we wouldn't have had if it wasn't for fusion voting. The city, for a while, has been allergic to Republicans, and people wouldn't vote on the Republican line.
But we've
got
that.
We've got people like LaGuardia, Lindsay, Giuliani, Bloomberg, because of fusion voting, because those candidates were able to run and say, I'm a different kind of Republican, and they were able to signal that with other running on other party lines, and voters were able to signal to the candidate, I'm voting for you, but I'm not voting on the Republican line. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's been very helpful.
So what is this signal? Cuomo also accepted the endorsement last week of the Independence Party, mm-hmm. which is seen by many people not just as centrist, but as tainted. Mm-hmm. What's the issue with the Independence Party?
Well, Independence can be a confusing name, what that means exactly. I'm not sure what the issue with the Independence Party is. I do think that when people criticize the Independence Party and fusion voting, what they do say is they see patronage. They see that it's not about party standing for anything in particular, but basically trading their line for favors and jobs and other things. And that certainly is the downside of fusion voting. And that's where most of its critics are in saying that that's essentially what it does.
And that's what the old Liberal Party became toward the end of its mm-hmm. existence. Maybe when they helped Rudy Giuliani get elected, they still stood for something that was a little bit liberal, though, to the center of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
But really, they were a patronage mill.
Yeah, yeah.
They were in business to get jobs for their members. And I don't know if the Independence Party is more that today as opposed to something that stands for some centrist ideals, and that's why it's tainted, if they really do stand for something that people can put their finger on. I can tell you we have some more Working Families Party members mm-hmm. calling up to tell us what they stand for. We don't have any Independence Party members on the line right now to say, oh, we are for, you know, middle of the road this and compromise that. Yeah. I don't know that anybody knows.
Yeah, and I have to say I can't really speak to that, but I do think that, you know, at some point that's no longer sustainable, and the Liberal Party did disappear. People vote on party lines generally because they're identifying with that party in some way, whether, you know, it's the Right to Life Party or the Conservative Party or the Working Families Party. And at some point, if people start to realize they don't know why they're voting on a third line, they're not going to do it.
Ruth and Merrick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ruth.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, I'm a member of the Working Families Party. I'm on the board of the Long Island Progressive Coalition, where we have people who will be attending the convention. We had a discussion about what to do. There were people pro Cuomo, people anti Cuomo, but we did not take a stance at the board meeting.
What were the pro Cuomo arguments? What were the anti Cuomo arguments?
Well,
why can't one local chapter of the Working Families Party make a decision about this vital question?
Well, we do have somebody on the board from 1199, and of course they're supporting Cuomo. They're also part of the Working Families Party. Those who were anti-Cuomo, we are members of the Alliance for Quality Education, so obviously education was an important issue, but public financing was an important issue as well. And there had been a phone call, which I'm going to call it, you know, like a conference phone call,
uh-huh.
two people talking to members of the Working Families Party who are active in it and going to the convention and urging people not to vote against Cuomo.
Sorry, who led that conference call? Who was doing the urging?
Some assemblyman from Manhattan.
Okay.
Since I wasn't on it, I can't remember
right.
exactly the name.
Okay.
And then somebody from, I guess, one of the unions that's supporting
right.
Cuomo.
Ruth, thank you very much. And that makes sense because I think it's important to point out that the Working Families Party as the party from the left, has left-right divisions of its own within mm-hmm. that. My understanding is that that party's establishment, and Ruth went right to this point, that party's establishment is made up of some powerful labor unions.
Mm-hmm.
And they're leaning more toward Cuomo, who has a lot of power over them.
Mm-hmm.
1199, the healthcare workers union. The governor has a lot of power over, you know, contract details and other things that affect the members of 1199. And then the party also has a more ideological or principle-based wing, which is probably the other movement that she talked about, that other group, who more want to run someone against Cuomo. So it's not exactly the Leninites and the Trotskyites, you know, of some time ago who fought each other more than they fought the right a century back. But the Working Families Party seems to be divided by its labor union interest groups and its more ideas-based pure reform faction.
Yeah, so that's very interesting. Before, you were talking about Cuomo's tent, but there's a tent within the Working Families Party which has been credited as reviving the left in New York State and potentially pointing the way for progressives. But certainly there's a similar potential fracturing of a coalition there.
Here's somebody who wants to talk about the Independence Party. Fred in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hiya, Fred.
Hi. Two things. First, I work as an election inspector. And at least the places that I work, I would say half or more of the people who come in and are registered as Independence Party people do not realize that they're in a party. They think they're independents. So the idea that they were given that name is just confusing.
Interesting.
So I'm not sure what that does for the process.
When you say you're an election inspector, you mean you're like a poll watcher on election day?
Well, yeah, a poll watcher is a different category. But when you come to vote, you sign into a book. That's what the election people are, yeah.
Uh-huh. Right.
So when when a person comes and they think that they are not voting, they're not registered in any party, they think they're independent.
They think they registered.
They registered as part of the Independence Party.
As Independence TS, when really they registered as part of the Independence CE Party. And so, okay, so that's one way that people may be fooled by the name. But you were critical of the party itself. You wanted to go beyond that.
Yeah, I think that I don't think the party particularly stands for anything. I think that they are a power block. And, I think that people try to get their, to get their line because they think it's important. You know, my feeling would be that the party should just ignore them and they would go away. But, I think when you have a little power that in some places might make the difference, people try to get that.
Fred, thank you very much. Lori in Manhattan with the Working Families Party. Hi, Lori.
I'm glad to be on your show and have a voice. I think the Working Families Party should not endorse Cuomo. I'm a registered Democrat, but I regularly vote with the Working Families Party. The stronger the vote is for the Working Families Party, the more Cuomo will get the message that he has to stop equivocating about fracking and every other subject that he equivocates. It's mind-boggling to hear that we, the Democrats, have a majority in Albany, and the Republicans are running the Senate. This is not democracy. And he sat for 4 years with that situation. He did nothing about it. But Andrew is not Mario, and he's trying very hard to straddle both parties. He's a Democrat, and he talks like a Republican. It's very, very upsetting.
Lori, thank you very much. And he would say he talks like a liberal Democrat on many things, but there are some things from which he digresses from the party orthodoxy, as he might call it, certainly on taxes and on charter schools. And with his lack of a stand on fracking so far, as we've heard before, and how much is enough. So that's what people on, you know, the liberal wing of the Democratic Party have to decide for themselves.
Right. And Cuomo says sometimes friends disagree, and there are a few things that he may disagree with. But in the main, he says he is a progressive Democrat.
And so we'll see what they do. This, do you have a position as, you know, democracy maven at the Brennan Center mm-hmm. on this so-called independent Democrats bloc? This is why the Republicans have control of the Senate mm-hmm. with Cuomo's tacit approval so far, that led by Democratic State Senator Jeff Klein mm-hmm. of the Bronx, who's now getting a primary challenge yeah. from, you know, a so-called true Democrat who'll vote for a Democratic leader for the state Senate, Oliver Capel. Same thing with John Liu running against Tony Avella in Queens. Avella is one of those independent crossover Democrats.
Yeah.
Is that just politics at work, or is that a corruption of democracy in some way?
Well, I don't have a position on it specifically, but one thing I will say that I think is very important to remember, especially because I am so concerned about getting some campaign finance reform and public financing in New York, is that the independent Democrats who broke away from the main Democrats and joined the Republicans to take control of the Senate said they were doing so that they could get things done, said they were doing so that they could get progressive things done, and specifically pointed to campaign finance reform and public financing. So I do really think the onus is on them in the next few weeks, because that's all there's going to be before the next election, to get campaign finance reform done. And if they don't, you know, I do think it's fair for the governor and others to say that they should face the consequences and that people should judge the coalition as a failure.
But can you explain why that would be a more effective way to get liberal things done? I know they say that, but since the Democrats have a majority of mm-hmm. people in the Senate, if those five breakaway Democrats just simply voted for a Democratic leadership in the Senate, then it would be easier rather than harder, wouldn't it? What am I missing to get these liberal agenda items passed?
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're missing, and you probably have to bring Jeff Klein, who's the head of the Independent Democrats, on to explain that.
We will. We're going to invite Klein and Oliver Capel on before that election day, which isn't until September.
Right. So, you know, he may have an explanation for that. I would say the proof is in the pudding. What have they gotten done? They certainly haven't gotten campaign finance reform done.
And I just want to mention before we run out of time that the Republicans, too, have their adjunct minor parties. Republicans mm-hmm. tend not to win statewide elections in liberal New York unless they also have the backing of the state conservative party, which is more conservative on social issues primarily than the Republicans are themselves in tolerant New York. Is the Conservative Party more powerful on the right than the Working Families Party is on the left? I think it is.
They certainly have a lot of power with Republicans. There's no question about it. You know, who's more powerful? I'm not sure I can make that judgment. Right now, certainly the Conservatives, as far as I know, are not threatening not to endorse the Republican candidate Astorino. So,
because if you go back to the elections of George Pataki as governor, mm-hmm. Probably Al D'Amato as senator. Mm-hmm. This goes back a ways. I think, I'm not sure in the case of D'Amato, but definitely with respect to Pataki, he wouldn't have gotten elected the first time if he didn't have the Conservative Party line votes that he had added to his Republican right. Party votes. If the Conservative Party had gone with somebody who, let's say, was more pure on their opposition to abortion rights or something like that, and mm-hmm. those same people followed along on that party line for that candidate, it might have been a fourth term of Mario Cuomo way back in 1994.
Yeah. Well, that's their power. And of course, you know, when you nominate somebody else, you may get less votes because, you know, this is the thing about fusion voting is people want to make a statement without, quote unquote, wasting their vote. And when you nominate somebody else completely differently from the Democrats and Republicans, some people will just say, I'm not going to vote that line because I want my vote to count towards a win. So, I mean, that's the question, obviously.
We'll see what happens this weekend at the Working Families Party convention. Will they endorse Mario Cuomo or will they post a candidate who will start campaigning against him on Sunday and raise all these issues from the left from now until November? We'll tell you over the weekend as this story develops. Larry Norden, Deputy Director for Democracy at the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Coming up next, Don't Play Ball, how some New York high schools that need sports programs the most don't have any. Stay with us.